You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I am Steve Dotto and I am glad you're joining us this fine day in the middle of, I can't remember what rain looked like in Vancouver. Can you, Art?
You're going to jinx it.
No, I didn't kill a spider.
No, it's, whatever you said, you wouldn't mind, can't even say the word rain.
Well, you just said it.
Well, but I only to scold you.
Okay.
It's okay if you do that.
How are you doing, Art?
I'm doing well. The comedy competition is wrapping up this week.
Big show this weekend.
On Friday, Saturday. It goes all week. I was at one last night and one on Monday night.
So
I'm going home at like midnight.
This is the comedy. How many comedians did you start with in this
60.
Competition? See, I don't think comedy should be a competition, first of all. I'm just saying right away.
Well, how else are we going to give away $20,000?
Well,
whoever the nicest is?
She'd have a contest.
Just a draw? Just a random draw?
Just a random draw.
Just like everyone in a big circle?
Whoever gets the biggest one laugh.
Okay.
I guess, I don't know. You're right. Okay, so you started with 60 comedians?
Yeah, it was a seven-week contest, so we had 4 weeks of 15 comedians per week doing four shows.
And what are you down to now?
And then now we're down to the final eight.
And what's the break of the final eight? Are there any women?
Yes, there's two women. One musical act and one just straight stand-up.
Okay.
And there's actually two musical acts. One was the female, and then there's a male duo.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest are all male comedians. It's amazing, too, because one comedian has been doing it for like 15 years. The other one started doing comedy at the beginning of his contest, the first show ever, like
they're
4 weeks ago.
And they're in the final.
And he's in the final. Well, the contest is made up of votes. Like you can move ahead by votes from the audience.
So is the guy funny or is he socially aware?
He is funny, but he also has a large network of friends.
Okay.
So
now,
it's a nice mix.
I have to ask you, if you were competing instead of organizing,
would
you be in the final eight?
Would I be in the final eight? Probably not. I know.
Why? Is it because you're not funny or you don't have friends?
Both.
We've got a great show lined up today, Art. We do indeed.
I know.
It's kind of a Web 2.0 and entrepreneurial show. We've got a couple of Canadian-based Web 2.0 companies, actually three of them that we're going to be talking to. We're going to have a return visit with the folks from Hire the World, the outsourcing.
Those are the guys who were on like Dragon's Den, weren't they?
I don't know if they were on Dragon's Den.
The two young guys have...
They were twin brothers and their partner.
Okay, they were on Dragon's... I remember. See, I keep a log of everything up here in my noggin.
Okay. Is that near Okanagan?
Yes, near Okanagan. It's a little box that I keep by Osoyoos.
Okay. Well, Doug Beach is going to be joining us to talk about their product. Brett Hedekin, who, I don't know, do you recognize that name?
Yeah, former Vancouver Canuck D.
Yeah, over 1,000 games. Played with the Canucks, the Hurricanes, won a cup with the Hurricanes, 2006. He's going to be on to talk to me about hockey
and how good
a player. No, we're going to talk about, he along with Ian Andrew Bell, who's been on the show to talk about his online dating app, Tingle. It's the one where you...
Yeah, I remember.
The location-based dating app. They've developed a product called RosterBot, which is for sports teams to control your roster, especially for like adult or amateur, like men's hockey teams. So you can have all of your different players. You register whoever's the manager. They register the people in it. It sends them emails with feedback saying, are you going to be here at Burnaby 8 Rinks Tuesday night at 8 o'clock? And so they've got the ability to manage your team that way with a lot less cycles by the manager. And if you're short a goalie, it recognizes that you don't have a goalie and goes and gets you a goalie, that sort of stuff.
So instead of like 30, 40 emails going back and forth,
having to manually manage it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a group management. And people are using it for a lot more than just hockey and sports. People are using it to organize their poker games, lots of things like that. So it's called RosterBot, and it's a pretty cool product. So we're going to talk to Brett Hedekin.
Interesting.
And, of course, he's also famous because he's married to Christy Yamaguchi.
That's right.
The figure skater, right?
He was part of the big blockbuster deal.
He was a part of a big blockbuster deal that when he came to Vancouver. It was in 1994, and he, along with he came with Brown, the defenseman, with Jeff Brown, and one other player.
In exchange for Craig Janney. I remember the whole thing.
Yes, and he and Brown became an excellent Nathan Lafayette, they became an excellent defensive pairing.
And they were like
in that
one
94 run.
Goal away from winning the cup.
Don't talk to me about it. It still hurts.
I know. That was my graduation year.
I worked those games. I used to work at the Pacific Coliseum running the scoreboard operation. There was an old Unix computer that we use to run the, you know, the clapping hands. That was my work, man.
Nice.
With the four fingers, the clapping hands. And the fanometer, completely fake. There's a lot of discussion whether it was a fanometer or a phonometer. I like to call it the fanometer.
But the actual amount that the meters were moving, was that all predetermined?
That was just codes that I was punching into, or me or Bruce or Jim Gemmel, whoever was doing it. We were just punching those into the computer.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm looking behind the curtain.
It was, you know, it was
very depressed. You're just an old man who's ruining Dorothy's life.
We used to control the board at concerts too. There's nothing like putting up the clapping hands during
Iron Maiden concert.
Yeah, we did everything that was at the Pacific Coliseum. We worked the dog show. Yeah,
and again with the clapping hands. Yeah, like, don't you have anything but these clapping hands?
The phonometer. Yeah, and
wow.
That sort of stuff. So when you see the game against Toronto, the video of Greg Adams' goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the "We Win Stanley Cup, Here We Come." You can always see it in the TV shot of the scoreboard exploding and doing all that stuff. That was a sequence that we'd pre-built before in case we won, and it was a code that we ran with. And I actually hit the button that sent that up there.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But let's back to the show. We
yes.
got to talk about the show.
Of course.
I was noticing a couple of stories in the news before we get into our first guest. And the two that kind of jump out to me is one, it kind of irritates me. Mark Zuckerberg, of Facebook fame,
mm-hmm.
He's no longer killing what he eats. I can't believe it's a news item, and I can't believe we're propagating that. He spent a year deciding that he should be more responsible. Good for you, Mark.
Right.
And so he decided to kill everything that he was going to eat himself so that he would have a personal relationship with his food.
When you're a billionaire, you need to do things that just make you a little eccentric. And make sure
this
that
year it's,
do whatever you want.
This year he's toned things down. His next New Year's resolution, which he does, I guess, in August, is he's going to code every year. He's going to write computer code every day this year.
How is that different than he's just reverting back to what he was doing in college,
I guess
university?
So. I guess so.
Do something good. Like, why don't you save a child in a poor country and make him a millionaire in the U.S.?
Yes. Why don't you? Let's ask him.
Okay.
And the final thing is, you, I think, are the perfect person to ask this because you are
handsome,
a neophyte smartphone user. You've had your smartphone now for 6 months?
A little longer, I think.
Is the bloom off the rose? Are you using your phone less now than you were when you first got it?
Not according to my angry girlfriend.
Okay. Because there's a report out, which is being sent out by everybody, saying that Canadians, while more of us have smartphones, we're using those phones less. They say the bloom is off the rose. There was a lot of excitement at the beginning. People were going crazy with Angry Birds and other useless things, and now they're not anymore. And they're still using the phones, but not as much.
They're probably just not using their phones in the car because they don't want to get a ticket.
Because it's against the law. That could well be it.
I think that has a significant. No cell phones in the car happened within the last year. So I think that's probably.
Catherine Haig joins us. Catherine is in from Toronto. She's here for a conference going on, a startup conference for web and web 2.0 and entrepreneurial type companies. Thanks for coming in, Catherine.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, Catherine, you have your own online site called ShopLocket.
Yes.
Did I get it right? ShopLocket, which is an online shopping site where people can create their own listings and manage their own listings and promote their products that they're selling in a variety of ways. And how long have you been doing this for?
We started working at the end of last year. Now we've been fully launched for about 4 months now.
So you're only 4 months into startup. Wow.
Yes.
How many hours a day do you work? How many hours
whenever
do you spend
we're awake, doing
social?
We're basically working.
it's your absolute life right now because you're a young entrepreneur. You're fairly young, right?
Yes.
So now I wanted to ask you about it because it's a compelling product. I really like the design. And so tell me how you went about starting the product. And then we'll get into the details of what the product does in a few minutes. But what was the genesis of this?
Yeah, so my background is in business and marketing, and I've always loved startups and always been part of the startup community. And about a year and a half ago, my good friends that founded a company called Shopify launched this new thing called a theme store for Shopify. And I decided to get involved and actually launch a theme on that theme store.
Now, Shopify is it's a success story in Canadian high tech. I think based in Ottawa primarily.
Yeah, Ottawa.
And they are a shopping cart provider. So they are a website provider or an internet provider who gives you the architecture, the back end you need in order to launch a web store. Have I kind of captured it properly?
Yeah, exactly. So when you decide, you know, I want to launch a new storefront to sell a bunch of different products from, you can use Shopify and it'll give you a new website that you can have all of your different product listings, people can browse. And what the theme store was the ability to pick, you know, what does that store look like? And you could pick from, you know, 100 different themes and, you know, what are the colors I want? What's the orientation I want?
So if I was a fly fishing store and I had a retail location, I would look on the, I would say, I want to bring my store online. Yeah. I would go to Shopify. I would sign up for an account, which I can then tie into my accounting system, my inventory system. I can do. They've got all those sort of elaborate hooks. But now for the look and feel of my store online, I might look at some of the themes. I'd be looking for ones that are in hunter green and maroon.
That's
my design. That's really going to fit for the fly fishing aficionado.
Exactly. And my theme was actually Mad Men inspired. So the first one was Madison Avenue, and then we had Fifth Avenue and a whole bunch of New York themed stores.
So you're basing off the hit TV series. Okay. So very thin ties, thin black ties.
Yeah. So the first one was sort of, you know, very, you know, maroon and very subtle colors and cocktail inspired.
So how long did it take you to develop the theme?
The theme, actually, I did with a good friend of mine who's an amazing designer. He built it in about 2 weeks, and I sort of took on some of the financial risk and some of the marketing side of things, and we actually broke even in about 3 weeks after we launched the store.
Wow. So you started building the themes, and that became a business direction for you. Why did you stop building themes and decide to step out of the Shopify world?
Well, I love doing it, and actually we made about $16,000 in profit just in the year that we first launched the theme. And
Which is really good
for two weeks of work. Yeah, it's pretty good, and I didn't even do that 2 weeks' work. So I loved working with all the store owners and started brainstorming, you know, there must be other cool apps, cool things that I can build for this, and really realized that, you know, there's this huge opportunity there. And then I had my own product. It was just some fun t-shirts that I had made and I wanted to sell them. And I was like, okay, great. I can finally start a storefront. But I realized that, you know, for someone like myself that has a blog, that has a website, that really only has one product that they're trying to sell from that, it doesn't make sense to create an entirely new storefront, redesign it. You know, one product can kind of look a little bit silly in a store.
Yeah, that's overkill for sure.
Exactly. So what could I use that would still make me look professional, something I'd be proud to share? And I found myself quickly going to Amazon, to eBay.
Amazon, Craigslist even.
Craigslist, PayPal buy buttons. It just, after working with something as awesome as Shopify, it just seemed so unprofessional. And why was this problem that seemed so simple? I have one product and I want to sell it. Why was it actually just so complicated? And that's really where ShopLocket was born. And we wanted to make really selling a product just as easy as sharing a YouTube video.
Okay, and that's really the theme. As I look at your site, and I did sign up and start to play with it, it does have the feel, at least from the how you manage your listing, of kind of like a YouTube video. So you sign up for an account, and your sign up, your barriers for entry are pretty low. I think they asked me for my email address, and that was it. So there was no whipping out my credit card and charging. So we'll get into the financial relationship a little bit later. So I signed up for the account, and then it says, "What do you want to sell?" It's basically the way that your site works. So as I create a listing, walk me through what happens as I create my listing and then what my options are as far as selling something. And we should point out, this is probably not for selling your used set of snow tires that's sitting in the garage. This is for more boutique items, something that's unique, something that has some intrinsic value. Or maybe a craft that you're making, something that's unique from that perspective.
Yeah, something you'd be proud to show off. So we have a lot of self-published authors. We have a lot of companies that have merchandise, events that have t-shirts, bands selling their first record, their first CD. So it's really things that you want to share with your network. You're proud to put on Facebook or on your blog, or things that other people would want to continue to share as well.
Okay, so it's going to be quality product, boutique type product. What happens now? I create a listing, I import a photograph into my listing, and
Yeah. So
what's the next step?
Yeah, you literally just name your product, write a description, upload a photo. You can pick the style for what you want your product to actually look like when it's embedded in a blog post or on a website.
And that's what the wrapper around the Shopify ad looks like.
Yeah, so it's basically the wrap around your ShopBucket widget, and it's the color.
Sorry, Shopify.
A lot of people do that. too many things with Shop at the beginning here in Canada.
Yes.
But basically, you pick the color. Basically, that's wrapping up your product listing. You hit publish, and basically, you put in a PayPal email address, and you're done. And whenever someone actually purchases your product, the money's going to go straight to your PayPal account. If you're in the States, you also have the option to sign up something called Stripe, which is in beta now in Canada. It's one of the coolest payment processors out there. So
we're going to see competition for PayPal.
It's definitely already happening in a very big way down in the States with Stripe. And now, just about 4 weeks ago, they launched their Canadian beta. So we're excited to be some of the first people using that. Keep your eyes peeled for Stripe as it comes.
I'm making a note as we speak. I think that for some of our audience, though, we've skipped by a really important part, which is, you're saying that I'm going to sell stuff. First of all, how do I know that it's been sold?
Mm-hmm.
B, where am I selling it? Where is this listing? Magically, suddenly people are looking at this ad. So let's walk through. First of all, procedurally, how is the notification and the transaction handled? Tell me that.
So what happens is once you've actually made a sale, we'll notify you by email. And then you can also log back into your ShopBucket account to actually see a listing of all the orders that have come in and view more details about each of those transactions. But the way that you would have actually gotten the word out after you publish it is we give you, just like when you publish a YouTube video, you can either link directly to the YouTube video or you can embed that video on your Facebook page or on a blog post or on an existing website. So it works the exact same way with ShopBucket. You can either share a link to where we host it or you can actually embed it directly on any existing site that you already have.
So the embed code, and for people who haven't ever played with YouTube or played with working with embed codes, it creates a little snippet of code, which you, if you have a blog such as, we were talking last week about a WordPress site. Mm-hmm. If you've got a blog, your own WordPress site, you can, instead of using the WYSIWYG editor where you're basically looking at your text bolded and your graphics as they're in place, you can look at the underlying code behind that, and it, within that underlying code, you can embed this piece of code that you've created in ShopLocket, and then when you post that posting, it will appear as a nice graphical representation,
interactive widget,
where you can just, the people see the nice wrapper, they see the ad, they click on it, click here to buy, and it takes you into your payment processing system.
Exactly. Trying to keep it really simple and not have to deal with any of the complexities of, you know, what photos, how am I going to arrange the text, you know, what do I do if I have different colors or different variants of what this product is, and taking all the complexity out of that and just wrapping it into this one little widget that you can just share anywhere.
How are you going to be paid? How are you going to make your money out of this, young lady?
So we don't actually make anything until someone makes a sale. And then we have a 2.5% transaction fee, which is just a split payment off your PayPal transaction fee. So we're paid every time there's a sale for our 2.5% fee.
So as if I'm selling something, it's PayPal, I think, takes about 3%. Is it 2.7 or
3.2? 2.9
plus 30 cents. Okay. So PayPal is going to take that. You're going to take 2.5% off, not of the net, but not of the subtracted total, but of the grand total. So you're going to lose about
5.4 plus 30 cents.
That's what it's going to cost you for the transaction, which it really isn't too bad.
So really on any storefront platform, you're going to have to pay some sort of transaction fee, whether it's on Etsy, whether it's on Shopify, whether it's on eBay. Actually, eBay fees are much closer to, you know, 9%
by the
time you're actually done. We're just trying to keep it really simple and make sure that all of our sellers are, you know, not taking on huge monthly commitments and risk, that they can just, you know, as you succeed, we'll succeed as well.
So eBay and Amazon, who both sell products, use products, take on the responsibility of reaching the marketplace. People go to search for your product on eBay. That's a powerful marketing tool.
Yeah.
You've decided to completely eschew that model and say you're responsible for reaching your customers yourself. We're just going to be a transactional processing engine for you, making sure that the transaction happens clearly, easily. We lower the barriers for your customers to purchase, And we're going to give you some nice, powerful tools that allow you to create ads that are fairly compelling.
Yeah. So we're ideal for the person that, you know, whether it's just your friends or whether it's your company or whether it's your following that already have some sort of network that you want to sell to. And it's very similar to if you launch your own website that's a storefront, you have to drive your own traffic and you build up your own audience. But, you know, why should that have to take you a couple of weeks or a couple of months to launch? We'll let you be just as professional as that, but in just a few minutes. And a lot of people see, you know, those marketplace solutions as being a little bit unprofessional. And I don't necessarily want to direct someone where they're going to see hundreds of thousands of other products as well as mine.
That's the challenge that you face in those areas. So you've been going for 4 months now. Were you in beta before that, or is that including your beta time?
We're still in beta. Before
in
that,
beta.
We were in closed beta, so you had to have a special invite to get in.
So now you're in open beta.
Open beta, yeah.
We should point out that Google, I think, is still considered
still in beta, yeah.
So you might never get out of beta. So it's free to sign up now. Are you limited to just Canada, or are you worldwide at this point?
So people are actually using us from all around the world. In terms of currencies, however, we support Canadian, USD, GBP, yen, and euro.
Okay. And so tell me where are you on your roadmap now? You're 4 months into it. Do you have enough users that you're starting to create some critical mass, that you're getting lots of really positive feedback or lots of useful feedback from your user base, and you can see a solid growth curve happening?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing, you know, more pickup every single day, and we're having some great success stories. We had a self-published author just a few days ago that sold out, you know, all of the pre-copies of his book in about 24 hours. And it's just so great to see it helping someone like that. I think he had spent, you know, 3 days trying to set up other solutions and just got so frustrated. And in just, you know, less than an hour, he was already selling with us. So hearing things like that is just great for us. And we just closed a major round of funding about 4 weeks ago. So finally, we're settling back into workflow and having progress. And it's been nice to get back to work.
Well, we're certainly going to keep an eye on your success. There's so many places that we could take the conversation. I'd love to know what's happening with around the crowdfunding model, if they're starting to embrace what you're doing. But we've kind of run out of time already. Catherine Haig, her website is shoplocket.com. If you've got something cool to sell, it's well worth your time to check out ShopLocket. Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks so much.
I'm Steve Dotto, and you're tuned in to Dottotech.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
If you've ever tried to manage or been on any sort of amateur sports team, be it hockey, soccer, baseball, you know what a headache it is to organize all of your different members, making sure you have all of the roster spots filled for each and every game, that all of your practices and even the locations of your games is properly shared to your entire team can be a real headache. The internet steps in. A Web 2.0 app developed here in Canada called RosterBot. It could be the answer. Joining me online now from San Francisco, hockey veteran from the NHL, Brett Hedekin. How are you doing, Brett?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. Now, along with Ian Andrew Bell, who has been on our show often in the past talking about Tingle and other things, you folks have developed RosterBot. Now, I can't imagine that when you were in the NHL, scheduling and making sure everybody was out at the games and practices was an issue, but it certainly is for beer league hockey.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We have managers that take care of all the scheduling. We just have to, like you say, sometimes like herding cats, but you know, we just follow the crew on the bus and off the bus into the games. But beer leaguers, they need this service. And I'll be honest with you, now that I'm retired, I use it often as well. So it's something that has been a lot of fun to be a part of. And I've really enjoyed it.
Now, how did it start? Where was the genesis of the app?
You know, it really started, you know, Ian is obviously an avid hockey player. That's how I got to know him. And I got to know him through other technology guys like Guy Kawasaki out of the Bay Area.
Okay.
Very, very famous technology guy, and got to know Ian through him. And we played in some hockey games up there after I had retired and got to know Ian really well. And it was something that really he was scratching an itch that he had, you know, playing in three different beer leagues and during the course of the week and getting all inundated with all the emails that were coming through his email box. And it's hard to keep track of it all and who's coming and who's not. And so he was actually, you know, thinking of ways to make his life easier. And
now,
and I love this the technology and the idea.
Well, now we should point out, Ian is a goalie. And goalies, of course, in beer league hockey are
usually quite useless, but also really hard to come by. So they're very popular as they switch from team to team because of the gear and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, well, it's a goalie. That says it all, right? And he's in technology. That says another thing. But no, yeah, goalies, if the goalie doesn't show up, you're not a very friendly human being. Or they're not your friends aren't friendly to you, I should say. And the goalie has to show up. And if they don't show up, nobody's happy. Nobody has any fun. And so it really helps the game.
So RosterBot is a pretty simple system that you subscribe to. You can create, it's all free. You create an account for your team as the team manager, add the email addresses of all of your different players. You have the option of adding things like positions, being able to create positions, being able to do alerts if you don't have the proper positions. And then it basically, you just populate it with the different messages, times, and it then populates, are they like meeting requests that go out to all the players to make sure that they're coming back so you get affirmation that people are showing up?
Absolutely. So, yeah, it literally takes you a couple minutes to set up. You can basically copy and paste all your teammates into an auto-populate separated by a comma, mm-hmm. and it has your team all set up. Then you go in and you basically have a minimum maximum amount of players. And then you can have spare players as well. That's what's unique about RosterBot is we have the ability to say, okay, 3 days out from the game, I need to send a note out to all my players to see who's coming. You receive an email, and it's a yes or a no link. You hit the yes, you're coming, or no, you're not. Well, RosterBot takes that information and waits for another day when it finally says, hey, you don't have enough players yet for the game. I'll send it out to your spares. And so then it sends it to all the spare players, and now finally you might have the amount of players needed for the game.
Oh, so you actually set a minimum threshold for what your roster is going to look like for that particular game, and if you follow a program where you send it out like enough days in advance, it then makes sure that your entire thing is populated. Or I guess you get an alert a couple of days before saying, "Hey, you're short here."
You're short here, and it also sends it out to your spare players that you've obviously put into the program to say, "Hey, these are my spare guys. That hey, if these good players can't show up, I'll take these scrubs."
So it was built with hockey in mind at the beginning, did you realize right away that it was going to work for a lot of different areas, or is it a voyage of discovery where you're going, holy cow, it really fits in this area as well?
Well, I think it was made for hockey originally, but we knew that this thing would be used for many, many purposes. And now you look at it, it's over 300 activities, Steve, and that's the interesting thing, from church groups to poker tournaments, the poker games, to you name it. It's used for everything. And that's what makes it so fun.
And it's free.
And it's free. And the great thing is it's so easy to set up. I mean, you're moving forward in a couple of minutes and you're ready to go.
Now, okay, so it's free. It's a great app. There is some competition out there. There's a few other services. Some are free, some are not. What's the business case? Talk to me about why you guys. I mean, you didn't build it for nothing. It cost you folks energy to build, and you're going to have to kind of run it as a business. What's the business model behind RosterBot? How's it ultimately going to pay for itself?
Well, I think that's right where we're at now. We finally relaunched RosterBot 2.0 just a few weeks ago, and now we're going to start doing a little bit more of the marketing, talking to other companies that really want to partner with us, that want to reach the active people out there that are in groups and in communities and in teams that they can directly relate with their customer. And what I mean by that is when we send out that invitation to see if you're coming to the game or coming to the activity or not, it's a great opportunity to send something marketing-wise with that email at the bottom to say, hey, let's say we have Under Armour, for instance,
yes.
if they were our sponsor and, you're playing in hockey and the local area that sells Under Armour is having a sale on the exact thing that you might need for that particular sport or that activity. It's a great way to connect with your exact consumer. And so right now we're in the middle of finding the right partnership with a marketing group with a company to be a marketing partner with us. And we're going to be selective. We want the right people. We want the right team to be with us. And we're looking for that group now. That's the first revenue model.
So it's very much so. Right now, you're in a very much build it and they'll come mode, where you're providing an excellent service for free. Do you sense that there'll be any pushback from your members at all as you start to embed advertising or as you start to look for revenue down in the backside?
We're going to anticipate that, and we hope that they understand that this is a free service at this time. And again, like you just started the conversation, that question off is that. We are a company that needs money to survive, and it gives us an ability to do so. Another revenue model that we'd really like to get after as well that is in the pipeline is the ability to, you know, if you're running a sports league and or a team and you have to pay all the money up front, it's very difficult to collect that money from your players. And to have guys that come to the locker room and say, hey, I forgot my wallet or whatever, we're going to have the ability to be able to pay right online with your credit card, and that money should go to the manager who has already paid that money outright. We would take a small fee of that in order to collect that money and give it to the team manager, and it gives us an ability to keep the money out of the locker room and to be able to just enjoy the game for what it is.
That actually sounds like a really creative application. So when you take a look at the landscape, the gorilla that you always have to be concerned about is, how is Facebook going to integrate with this? Because there has to, at some point, you know, Facebook seems to be reaching out and touching certain, whenever there's groups gathering, Facebook is reaching out and touching. Have you guys had any conversations or strategy or conversations about your strategy surrounding how you might want to deal with Facebook? Do you want to become a Facebook app and include it within Facebook? Or are you concerned about the shadow of Facebook?
Well, obviously anybody that builds a business has to be thinking about Facebook. It's, you know, the third largest country in the world. So I think it's something that you have to be thinking about. You know, we have been having some conversations about Facebook, but right now we are in this mode of building all the applications within our roster bot that are going to make it something that's very user-friendly, which it is already. We want to make sure that we can collect money for our managers of the team. We want to make sure we have the right marketing partner. And then obviously that's something that we do have in the pipeline to start talking, thinking about other, you know, Facebook and other companies that we'll obviously be thinking about.
A quick search online finds a dozen or so different competitive products that manage different types of rosters. A lot of them focused on baseball. A lot of them coming from the States. What would you say your competitive advantages over these, or what are you really trying to leverage to move you ahead of these other services?
Well, I think ease of use, the user interface for me. I've looked at a lot of the other ones as well, and when I come to RosterBot, it's so simple and it's so easy to look at, and it happens so seamlessly that I just can't see myself ever using another service. And I think that's what's really drawn me to it. And I think, you know, Chad Lindstrom and Ian Bell have done a great job of really bringing that to life, to making sure that it's easy to use. And I think that's where our strength is, no doubt about it. And the ability to have the spare players, to have things like that, is a great tool for all sports, because you want to make sure you have your regulars that are in the game, but you want to make sure you have a couple on backup, and I think that's just a great tool for RosterBot.
Brett Hedekin, NHL legend, now online veteran, working with Ian Bell, and you also mentioned Chad. I didn't mention him off the top. One of your the third person of the triumvirate that creates RosterBot is Chad Lindstrom, who does all of the software engineering. Thanks so much for your time. I look forward to seeing how RosterBot works out. I'm going to try it for my own dodgeball team, see how that works.
Definitely use it for your dodgeball team. It's great to talk to you, Steve, and thanks for having me on.
DottoTech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to DottoTech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Several months ago on the show, we had several young entrepreneurs on the show. They run Hire the World. It is an online site designed for outsourcing, and we had a fascinating conversation. I love the concept of outsourcing. Welcoming back now Doug Beach, one of the twins who, along with Arash Farooz, did I say his name right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Have developed Hire the World. Thanks for coming back on the show, Doug.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. I appreciate it.
Now, a couple months ago when we it was maybe 8 months ago, 9 months ago, you guys were very much in startup phase. You had you were offering to the internet community at large outsourcing. You were finding everything from accountants to graphic designers to writers to photographers, any knowledge work that needed to be done. You were basically brokering that, putting the relationship together between the people who had the work and the people in the skilled labor that wanted to do the work. And I think it's a tremendous space. We had an engaging conversation, I think, and it's now 9 months later. So what's happening?
Yeah, so you're right. It's a really great space, Steve. Since we've talked, it's funny. Like, we were offering 541 different skill categories, and the kinds of work that was coming across our desk, you just couldn't even imagine. It was actually really great information to see how many different entrepreneurs were doing different kind of marketing tactics, or even individuals that were outsourcing medical writing was something that came across our desk. But in the last 9 months, as we were going through the 541 categories, we were offering all these services, but each service, I guess we talked a bit about this before, it was really difficult for us on a limited marketing budget to explain exactly what it is that we do. We didn't, you know, we could explain that we were an outsourcing company and you could pretty much do anything, but when we would say that to people, people would be like, well, what are some examples? And so you'd be trying to hit 541 different topics, hoping that the customer would say, hey, yeah, I really need that.
Yeah.
And so what's happened in the last 9 months is that we took our most profitable segment, which happened to be graphic design, which is what we started with, and we've actually narrowed and focused the business solely on graphic design. As of 2 months ago, we've just gone through a site redesign, and last month was our first month where, you know, we still had some jobs withering on the vine, we like to say, so there's still people getting bookkeeping and programming done in the background on our site, but we're not offering any new jobs. Mm-hmm. We had our most profitable month last month, and I think just for the sole reason of focus, I know this is a pretty big rant, but we talked about it before earlier too, is that now my mom can actually go and explain to her friends what it is that we do on the internet, where before she was like, I don't know, it's like around the world and they do all this stuff.
So you simplified things. So when you started out, I can just imagine what was going on. You were excited about every new category that you could provide services in because you saw the potential of every one of those 500 plus categories. And it was so easy to, you thought growth would probably come through adding more categories and just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, offering all of these online services, which is perfectly legitimate. But it's so difficult to capture mind share when you're looking at that many, when you're spreading yourself that thin. So instead of growing outward, you guys just decided to completely narrow your focus and only concentrate on graphic design. And that's a pretty bold step. It must have caused you a fair bit of interesting conversations between the three of you as you moved ahead.
Oh, I tell you, we spend a lot of time. This is our we call this our board game room because we play a lot of board games in here, but it's also where we make all our decisions. And we're talking about a couple months of debate, Steve, because we're making money in those other categories. But at the same time, like, you see the revenue coming in, but then you also see, you know, some of our staff on customer service calls where they're trying to explain why there's a dispute because there's this medical writing program that they're trying to get done. And we just couldn't provide the service. Like, we had so many unique problems coming in. And because we were so broad, we couldn't really make like specialized solutions that really spoke to our customers and made it really easy for them in so many different categories. It was just tough. It was tough times. So it was both tough dealing with that, all those skill sets, but it was also very tough to start turning off those skill sets as well, because, you know, you see, you just get a $10,000 contract with some kind of PHP programming job, you know, that's $1,000 profit that you just kind of make off the use of your site. And you go, so we're just going to discussion, and it's looking in the short term that it's the right move. Like, it's really the biggest benefit so far is being able to focus our marketing dollars and just making sure that our customers, when you hear that you need something that's risk-free, safe, and an innovative, fun way to get quality graphic design, now we can start getting our customers to think, oh yeah, hire the world. Like, their solution is just, it's way better than the traditional way of getting graphic design services.
So now you guys are focusing a lot more on, obviously, on the graphics market, but you've got a unique way of approaching that as well. You've got the ability to create contests and to do some other things to create a lot of energy around the design.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of people compare us instantly. We have some good competitors in the space, and crowdsourcing, you know, it's a great business.
Yes.
But where we really differentiate ourselves is we're trying to build a place where graphic designers can make a career. So in a contest, right, you're really competing against other graphic designers. And we like to take a look at it like it's a lead gen, because a lot of our graphic designers are from all around the world, and they traditionally couldn't access North American dollars but even though they were just as talented.
Yeah.
So we have lots of customers that come in and they start a contest. Maybe it's just for a logo or a website. And then they really, you know, they get dozens of designers they see from like Japan or Toronto or Singapore. And they get to look at all their work before they decide what they want to pay for. But usually when they get a graphic designer that like really speaks to them and speaks to their target market, they want to keep working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have online tools that allow you to, you know, hire, manage, and pay people all over the world. So, and graphic design, it makes our tools way better because you can imagine. So when graphic designers work not on a contest but on an hourly basis, they sign into this our software, and it takes screenshots randomly and every 5 to 10 minutes, just so that they know that every hour they work, they get paid for, right? Okay. Well, you can imagine if you're taking screenshots of a programmer taking code in PHP, it doesn't really say much for our client base. Our client's like, well, I saw that he's coding, but I really don't know what he's doing. But in graphic design, you it's very visual. You know exactly what they're doing.
You see the evolution of it. So how does a typical contest work?
Yeah, it's really simple. It's three steps. So basically, you come to our site and you say you want whatever kind of project you have. So if it's like a logo, a t-shirt design, a website, you fill out a 5-minute brief. You tell us what your project is, what your needs are, and how much you're willing to pay. It starts at $265, which is very inexpensive if you look at the field of what it normally costs. You're talking 20% of the normal cost for even just going into a traditional design agency.
Yeah.
And then we broadcast that to thousands of designers all over the world. And they go and look at the project. They see if they're interested in it. They think, hey, do I have a vision for this person? They create up some initial images, and they send them into Hire the World. And so you get a few results in days. And by the end of a contest, the average contest gets over 109 designs for you to choose from. And the best thing is it's completely risk-free. We guarantee that you're going to get a design that you love, that meets your needs, that you're going to be able to use, or else you can get your money back. So that's something that traditional graphic designers do not offer.
That's the challenge when you're dealing with just a single designer. Now, while you gain the benefit of communicating face-to-face and all of those sorts of things, it's still sometimes very difficult, especially for business people, to communicate concepts to graphics people. That's always a challenge. So yeah. Just, you know, throwing an awful lot of different designs at the wall is a great way of approaching it, because you're getting some really creative and unique approaches.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. We like to say around here, there's a lot of our clients that really don't know what they want, but they'll know when they see it. And that's the beauty about our site, is that you get to see hundreds of designs, and then you're like, that's the one, and then you pay for it.
Which of the contests that you've had, say, on logo design, what's your favorite ones that you've had so far?
Oh, I know my favorite for sure. It's called Infinite Motorcycle. And it's this really cool guy. And do you know what? It got one of the least amount of designs. It was a really interesting contest. I think it was $235. So it was the minimum amount for a logo.
Yeah.
And this person was creating infinite motorcycle training. So he was doing like, if you want to learn how to ride a motorbike, you go to his company.
Okay.
And so there's this really cool one. And I'll bring it up, or I guess you can post it. And there's this really cool motorcyclist, and he's on tires that make an infinite symbol. And the infinite symbol's just revving up, and it's getting really, really, you can just tell it's ready to rock. And the contest only got 39 entries, because when this talented designer from the Philippines put it up, the other designers on the comment feed just said, no, that's the winning design. We can't design better than that. And the employer was like, yeah, that's the design. Yeah, there's no way.
So the designers can see the other designer's work.
As
it's coming along, so they can decide.
You can make it a blind contest, or you can make it so that it's an interactive, collaborative contest. But in that one, it was collaborative.
Okay. Now, what about high profile? Have you had some high profile customers?
Yeah, we've had some really great ones. Well, do you know what? We did do a contest. The one that we got the most like audience for was with the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah.
But the Winnipeg Jets, of course, already paid a fortune to a design company, like probably hundreds of thousands of dollars. So they already had their logo. But we thought their fan base would really like to participate. And so we went ahead and ran a contest for them anyways. And the local news picked it up. And we had, you know, fans and fans' children pumping up designs. I think we got like 450 designs from people all over Manitoba. And, of course, the newspapers picked it up. The local TV station picked it up. We've done contests for a local blueberry company here. That's a local, you know, they own the Canucks. So they did a contest. We've done lots of really cool contests. The majority of them are people that are just starting new businesses, like massage therapists or dog walking schools, or we've had some really great website contests. I know CapTherm, who got multi-millions of dollars in funding for their product. They built their initial website on us, and it turned out beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of the company Swarm Jam?
Yes.
Yeah, they're like a Groupon-style site. They had a really great business model where they partnered with newspapers and got all their advertising for free, and then had like some kind of deal that if they hit a certain revenue number, they would be bought out. It was a beautiful plan. They got a site redesign for Swarm Jam, actually done on Hire the World as well, a couple of years ago.
Okay. So, and now it's not just logos, though. You also do websites, you do book art. business card design, print design. So there's a even though you've focused on graphics, there's a pretty broad spectrum of graphics work that's available.
Yeah, absolutely. We do clothing. Like right now, we're running some promo contests to get some more book covers. We're actually giving away 2 free book cover contests to self-publishing authors. Just trying to get the word out there that, hey, listen, there's a better way that you don't have to go and get the free make your own book cover that looks like everybody else's, and you don't have to pay the expensive way either. And clothing design is a big one as well, t-shirt design.
And what about motion graphics?
We don't do very many motion graphics. I know that we do banner ads, which mm-hmm. potentially you could get those GIFs to, like, you know, they could be multiple images.
Simple
I know that people
there.
Like making them for Google, so you can get those designed. But like animated graphics, we don't do.
Okay. So
it's all 2D.
Well, come on, guys, grow into some new markets, for goodness sake.
Hey, we just narrowed down. Like, we don't need this pressure, Steve.
Fair enough. Listen, Doug, I appreciate the update. We'll be posting links to, and I'll post links to the logos that you liked as well, so that people can get an idea for that. I wish you and your brother well, and your partner, and we'll have an update in 6 more months. Maybe you'll be doing something completely different then as well.
Yeah, I know. That sounds great, Stephen. Thanks for having us again. Always great talking to you.
My pleasure. Doug Beach from hiretheworld.com.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Back to school is rapidly approaching, which, of course, warms the hearts of all parents and causes children much anxiety, which, of course, warms the hearts of all parents. Joining me online now from Saskatoon, computer manager there, Julian Sanders at London Drugs. How are you doing, Julian?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. Looking forward to the kids getting back into school and getting back. You know what I'm looking forward to most about back to school? It's the routine. I think the summer, I just find I'm not as productive in the summer. I guess that's okay, but I'm looking forward to getting back into routine.
For sure.
Now, in the back to school, when I was talking about the ideas for back to school, you said we should talk about scanners and paperless back to school, which kind of took me by surprise. Yeah. I've thought a lot about paperless office. We've done stories in the past on paperless office and looking at different scanning tools and different options for getting, you know, basically removing the amount of paper that we're dealing with, or even more importantly than removing the amount of paper, being able to quickly find any data that's in any of our paper when we need it digitally.
Right. Yeah.
But you said that there's a good back to school story. So fill me in on how that fits.
Well, a lot of times students will get stuff, like not just notes, but stuff from teachers, maybe research material, and it won't be in a digital form. So it's nice when you're doing research to be able to pull it up on the computer and actually use it, because information is only as good as how quickly you can access it. So if you have a good system set up for going paperless, you can easily bridge the gap between the physical paper, kind of the real world, and the world that you need to do your research. It can make you a lot more efficient and give you a lot more information at your fingertips.
So really no different than what we're talking about for business people. Just the more that we have that we can access through our smart devices, the better we are.
Right, yeah. And a lot of people neglect just scanning PDFs is one that's been used for a long time, especially through all-in-one printers. You can quickly and easily grab a PDF, but the words aren't searchable. You can't do anything like reference it or quickly copy and paste it into a document. So it makes your whole research life a lot simpler if you can actually use it as text, just as a file.
So that's the big difference with these new scanners. Now, the paperless story is all hardware based. It's all we have to, you know. There's a variety of different decent scanners out there that scan our documents in. But the key is the software with those scanners, how it takes the text and it parses it into text, but it also will parse it into database form in some cases. So the smarter it is, the more that it understands what the information is that it's scanning in, the more productive we are.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why I've been playing around a bit with the Neat Receipts system. Is one that we've had for a long time, and it's really good at picking out parts of a document and turning it into a database. Mm-hmm. So if you're scanning, it's designed for business for receipts, but it has a lot more capabilities than that. But it's smart enough to know, like when you throw a receipt through it, it's smart enough to know that it had where you bought it, what items you bought, and what you paid. So when you're tracking your expenses, it's very quick and easy.
Now, it'll also parse out taxes for you, right?
Right, exactly.
Smart enough, yeah, that it finds it, which is really a benefit.
Yeah, especially when you're doing stuff for claiming stuff for expenses, yeah, it's really invaluable to a lot of people.
Okay, so Neat. Now, the Neat Scanner, we have talked a little bit about in the past. It's not a cheap product, though. It's not inexpensive, is it? It carries a fairly hefty price tag, doesn't it?
Right, yeah, and there's two versions. It starts at a couple hundred dollars. Mm-hmm. There's also regular promotions on it throughout the fall.
Okay.
And it's handy to keep, like I use it for not only keeping my expenses, like all of my regular non-e-bill stuff going through it. I've also taken all of my old records and digitized it, so it's very quick to go back and find something from before if I need it for quick access.
Now, is it a cloud-based application that it's storing your data in?
They do have a new cloud called Neat Cloud. I was fortunate enough to be invited to the beta, and it's actually quite smooth, very easy access from your phone, too. But from a back-to-school perspective, you could use the cloud even through free services like Dropbox and Microsoft SkyDrive to mm-hmm. Load up your PDFs to it. Which also have the text information, so you can keep all of your articles and other information in a cloud that you could access from anywhere.
Does it have any hooks directly into Evernote?
It does, actually. It has direct integration with Evernote, so you don't even need to leave the Evernote dashboard. It can mm-hmm. scan through Chrome has a plugin for it, and you can scan with the right browser and configuration right to Evernote.
So you can choose either to use their Neat solution, or if you are a person that likes to use Evernote for that sort of document management, then Evernote would be an option.
Right, for sure.
Now, there's two versions of the scanner?
Yeah, there's a portable that's USB powered, so no power outlet needed, and that one's great for just regular documents. Business cards go through it, no problem. And mm-hmm. then there's a larger, kind of higher volume one that's more expensive that can do a lot at once, including double-sided scanning.
Okay. And what is the price tag on the large one?
$399.
Okay. Now, they do have competition. Neat kind of had a good run at it, but Doxy is in there as well. What's the difference? Tell me the story of the Doxy scanner.
The Doxy scanner has been really big. It was actually one of the first to do parsing on its own, and it's a little bit better for having different plugins. It has an open development platform, so there's a lot of different reasons you'd want that one, including direct access to other cloud-based services. So if you're a fan of some of the other ones, you can quickly get your information scanned into it with text.
And they, while Neat really focuses on the business community, Doxy does have an angle that they're pitching towards students. They have a version of it called Doxy U, which
yep.
is for students and teachers. Tell me about what the differences are of that scanner.
The Doxy U is a little bit, basically it's a little bit of a software trick, and it also does a little bit better for scanning thin paper. They mm-hmm. have a Doxy 2.0 has a better sensor. So when you're scanning books and things, sometimes you will find that it doesn't do as much. It also has a different plugins for teachers, mm-hmm. so they can, with software, share a little bit easier through Google Docs.
Oh, okay. Now, when you're saying scanning books, does it also do, like, can you use it as a wand over top of books? Does it work that way?
No. I've actually never played with one myself, but it basically can take in it basically takes in the page a little bit different, because it will allow you to take an open book and insert a page.
Oh, okay, without tearing the page off.
Right, yeah.
Which would be bad. That's not the way you really want to do things.
That's okay. Right, yeah.
And that one, and that's certainly the most affordable of all of them. It's $119 is its list price, I guess.
You got it, yeah. And it's also easier to scan because it's got a plug direct for USB power.
Okay, so that's a nice portable one that can fit in somebody's backpack and go. So there yep. we have it, Doxy Scanner and the Neat Scanners, two good solutions for going paperless. Julian Saunders, thanks for your time.
Thanks.
Art, I am having trouble imagining or remembering a more useful show that we've put on the air. We've done over 70 shows now, and I think this might be the most useful.
Because you have a whole bunch of things you want to sell.
Well, think about Every single interview today was something that our audience can take advantage of. Everybody's got something they want to sell. Shop Lockets, there. I mean, you could make your own comedy CDs, Art, and sell them.
For how much?
Well, that's up to you.
Hmm.
It better be more than 30 cents, because that's how much it costs the minimum transaction fee. Well, probably about 60 cents.
35 cents, I sell 10 million, I'm rich.
No, you're not. You give all the money to other people, but they appreciate it. We had that. We had, of course, RosterBot for teams. Now, you don't play on any teams, do you?
Are you looking at my physique and assuming that there's
Here's the thing. Back when we were doing the TV show, the guys, my crew, really wanted me to form the Dotto Tech Dodgeball team. That's why I mentioned it with Brett. They wanted and it came from the classic, you know, if you can catch a wrench, you can catch a ball. Or you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. I love that show. But it's kind of rude. But so maybe we should start thinking about a Dotto Tech Dodgeball team. Right into steve@dottotech.com. Let me know if you want to play on our dodgeball team. There's a league right here in Richmond. We checked it out. Yeah, there is. I'm not kidding. And then finally, of course, the guys at Hire the World. They turned their ship around. They went from 500 and some odd products down to just concentrating on one product. But they're moving in the right direction. I give those guys a lot of credit. I think they're getting some great advice.
And they're so young.
They're so young and they're so twins. We didn't have them both on today. Doug and Terry. Terry was sick. Terry was ill, so he wasn't able to be on the show today. But
don't they feel it like when the other person's sick?
I don't know if it affects one or the other. I didn't. I don't care. Do you really care, Art?
Just saying. There's something mystical about twins.
You're just saying. A reminder, drop by our website. We've got video on the website, both the Brett Hedekin video and the Catherine Haig interview. We have a video of both of those interviews,
you'll be
able to see screenshots.
Former Vancouver Canuck defenseman, Brett Hedekin.
How about NHL great Brett Hedekin?
No.
You don't think he was great?
He played over
1,000 NHL games and he won a Stanley Cup.
But to me, I don't care all the other stuff. When he was a Canuck and he almost got us a cup, it's all that matters to me.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Former Canuck defenseman, Brett Hedekin. That interview is on our website. Check it out. And we've got great screenshots and great shots of all of the products that we talked about. On behalf of Art Factor, I am Steve Dotto. We look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Dotto Tech.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.